ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, there you heard the highlights. The last ones of Matthew Sluka.
There were highlights.
We got UNLV news yesterday. Big news. Not the news anybody was expecting, though.
Oh, the Pac-12 is suing the Mountain West Conference?
No. UNLV making an announcement on what conference they're going to play football in. They just ignore that. Instead, we find out the quarterback's leaving.
Yeah, we're waiting for that announcement.
We're still waiting for
that.
Are
they still huddled?
They are. Well, no, because Matthew Sluka quit, so somebody had to leave the huddle.
Ready, break!
Yeah, somebody had to be like, wait a minute, the quarterback's leaving? I guess we're going to talk about that.
5:22.
Here we go.
The first bite.
Why did Matthew Sluka quit UNLV?
Sluka posted on Twitter last night, I have decided to utilize my redshirt year and will not be playing in any additional games this season. I committed to UNLV based on certain representatives that were made to me, which were not upheld after I enrolled. Despite discussions, it became clear these commitments would not be fulfilled in the future. I wish my teammates the best of luck this season and hope for the continued success of the program. Did UNLV fail to pay Matt Sluka NIL money they promised him?
No idea. I mean, it's you read the repercussion or the statement, and I read Kelly Lawson Freeman. I talked to Adam last night, and it has to be NIL.
It's NIL one way or the other.
One way or the other.
Sluka's claiming that UNLV made some sort of offer to him and didn't uphold it. We have gotten a couple of reports, one from Carl Reed of 24/7 Sports, that said all financial commitments for Matthew Sluka were completely met, but after wins against Kansas and Houston, Sluka's family hired an agent and they collectively feel that his market value has increased, which would imply that Sluka's family said, hey, you're worth more than UNLV's paying you. Let's go get some money. We also had Paloma Viacana tweet out that Sluka has already been offered more money in the transfer portal from another school. So that's three different stories.
Hey, by the way, let me ask you real quick. Aren't there windows on the transfer portal?
You can, as a grad transfer, you can go anytime you want.
Okay.
But yes.
All right.
For everybody else.
There's windows of when you can go and when you can't go. Because when I heard transfer portal, I'm like, wait, it's the middle of the season.
Yeah. For everybody else, there are. For grad transfers, you can go in the portal whenever you want. Also, Sluka could, in theory, just say, I'm not playing anymore. And then enter the portal when it does open.
Okay.
So he is just not playing because he's saving his
redshirt
last year of eligibility. But we have three different stories. Sluka says that he didn't get paid what he was promised. Paloma Viacana reported that another school has already offered him more money. And Carl Reed reported that Sluka's family just said, hey, he's worth more than he's getting. We're going to explore our options without there being another offer from another school. I don't know which one is most believable right now.
That's what I said. We have no idea. I mean, we assume it's NIL, because what else would it be? But of those three points you made, I don't know. I don't know which one it would be. And it might be something else that no one has said yet.
I have a hard time believing that another school watched Matthew Sluka play this year and thought, we have to have that kid next season.
Well, it wasn't because of his throwing.
Right. He has not completed 50% of his passes in a single game this year. Yes, he's fourth in the Mountain West right now in rushing yards per game. I believe he's top five in terms of all quarterbacks in rushing yards per game. But anybody that's watched UNLV is not like blown away that the quarterback play has been so good. He hasn't been that good as a quarterback. So I have a hard time believing that another school poached Matthew Sluka after three games. That another school came in and said, you need to quit right now. Save your year of eligibility and come play for us next season.
It'll be interesting to see where he ends up.
Like, what college coaching staff, 3 or 4 weeks into their own season, is saying, we need to go poach that quarterback from UNLV right now? Because Sluka's not going to go. He can't play for another school this year. This is for next season. I find that hard to believe. But I also find it hard to believe that UNLV didn't pay him his NIL commitments. Like, what did they promise to him and then not give him? I also find that kind of hard to believe that UNLV hasn't paid up on what he was expecting to get. So none of the outcomes to me make much sense.
I mean, you've given us a lot to think about with all those outcomes. Is there a poaching fee here involved?
Does the Pac-12 have to pay it?
Will there be a lawsuit?
Listen, maybe Oregon State was like, you know what? We'll show UNLV who's boss. We're going to go poach their quarterback in the middle of the season.
Or Washington State.
Yeah, we're just going to take him in the middle of the season.
Or it could be one of the four Mountain West schools.
Right, that could happen too. So I just, none of this makes sense to me. That he would quit three games in because UNLV didn't pay him enough, or that another school would say, we have to have that kid, right? That just doesn't, and it doesn't make sense to me that his family would be like, oh, you beat Kansas while completing 40% of your passes. We got to get in the portal and make more money. Like, that doesn't make sense either. I don't know. This is absolutely bizarre, and I don't have any idea what the actual right answer is here as to why Matthew Sluka has quit UNLV three games into the season.
I think of the three scenarios, the most likely is probably him wanting more money and them saying, no, you got what you're getting for this season.
Is he three games in when he hasn't played that well? He's saying, get me out of here?
And I just looked up redshirt rules for this year is you could play four games in the regular season.
Right.
He should have waited till after this weekend.
Now, what if he gets hurt?
Yeah, but what if he also goes 4-0 and then you make your claim, and if they say no,
they're
you redshirt.
They're pick him now. They might lose the game.
Is he worried about it?
Yes, I would be. He's not very good.
Did the line go to pick him?
I don't know. I haven't looked.
John Von Tobel tweeted that last night.
Yeah,
that
it was 3.5 when we got off air yesterday.
How bad of a sign is this for UNLV?
Oh, I don't know if it is at all, because we don't know. Like, you laid out the options, and if this was just the kid.
One way or another, they lost their starting quarterback in their best
right,
season
but I don't
ever
know,
because they don't have enough NIL because, money.
Well, again, I don't want to speculate on that.
That's it.
This might be the kid.
No.
Maybe they offered him a ton, and maybe the kid said that's still not enough.
Then they don't have enough NIL money.
Well,
like, no matter what happened, UNLV does not have enough NIL money. That's no matter what, if a school poached him or if he did it on his own or if UNLV didn't meet the commitments, every one of those stories, the end of the day, UNLV did not have enough NIL money. Sluka's still the quarterback at UNLV if he goes in and asks for more money and they give it to him. Sluka's still the quarterback at UNLV if UNLV has enough NIL money. So no matter what, in any of these scenarios, UNLV lost their starting quarterback when they're 3-0 with a chance at the college football playoff because they don't have enough NIL money.
Or they're not willing to give it. I mean,
they're not willing to keep their starting quarterback after 3 weeks.
Like I said, who knows what this kid and his family and his, if he's got representation, might be completely out of sorts
right.
here.
They might be, but ultimately UNLV didn't have enough NIL money. Even if he's completely asking for way too much money, UNLV still lost the quarterback because they didn't have enough NIL money.
I mean, I wish I knew the circumstances around this kid, and by the way, who's advising him? I'd like to know that. Who's advising him? Is it just his parents? Does he have representation? Lot of unanswered questions to this, which you hope would get answered in the near future. But you know, I assume there's a statement coming.
Well, we thought that was coming about the Pac-12, so I wouldn't get your hopes up. UNLV is the most relevant college football program in the country right now. They hold the cards to does the Mountain West survive, and their quarterback just quit. And we haven't heard a single word from the entire athletic department for 48 hours.
I agree with you.
The two biggest stories in college football are about UNLV right now, and not a soul from that program has said a thing in 2 days. That's insane to me.
I thought for sure, because of what happened 2 days ago with the backing out of the Pac-12 and, like, you know, rethinking, they must have done a lot of huddling, because I thought for sure yesterday that there would have been a statement or something that came out on what they were going to do with the Pac-12 in the Mountain West, right?
Did Sluka leave because they were still in a huddle? He was like, hey, can I get some more NIL money? And they're like, hey, we're huddling.
We're huddling. We've got a new play for the go-go offense. We're putting in some new plays. Fresno's a tough opponent.
Not that huddle. Barry Odom's talking about the Pac-12 instead of Fresno State. So Luke is looking around and saying, wait a minute, I was trying to get more NIL money, and you guys are still huddling over this?
Over the Pac-12?
Just pick a conference.
Go to the Pac-12. Let's go.
Pick a conference and then give me some money. Maybe Sluka was counting on getting some of that $10 million in the payout the Mountain West was going to give the UNLV. And then UNLV said, wait a minute, we might not take that anymore. And Sluka's like, hey, what the hell?
Yeah, we might be the ones paying the $18 to $20 million
right.
to leave.
Sluka's like, that's supposed to be my money at the end of the day. So
where do they go now?
It has to be Haj Malik Williams.
It has to be. He came in the spring.
Right.
Familiarized himself. I was out there for the paper covering the spring game. He looked good in the spring game. I know that's not going to correlate much with 6 months later as to how good he's going to look now. But I thought he looked good, and you're right. I think you have to go Haj Malik Williams.
With the obvious caveat that we haven't seen him throw a pass for UNLV.
Right, right. No, because when he comes in, when Sluka loses his helmet, they never let him pass.
It's illegal. I don't think UNLV is going to lose a bunch here. Like, I don't think there's going to be a dramatic
drop-off.
Now, does losing your quarterback on a Tuesday before you play a game on Saturday have some sort of effect on the team morale? Maybe. Maybe that happens. But just purely from the actual quarterback play, again, Sluka as a runner has been excellent this year. That final drive where they scored the game-winning touchdown against Kansas, their only offense was basically Sluka scrambling or quarterback power type plays. It's a benefit. But he's been a bad passer. He's been a very bad passer. I think Haj Malik Williams will step in and make the passing game significantly better. Now the quarterback running part of the offense is going to be significantly worse, but we saw this offense put up points last year where Jaden Maiava was not a runner at all. So I don't think the offense is going to take a step back. Now, listen, they play Fresno State, and Haj Malik Williams is also completing 44% of his passes. They're in a lot of trouble on offense all of a sudden because Sluka did win the job. So this coaching staff did think Sluka was better than Haj Malik Williams, but I would guess as a passer, Haj Malik Williams is better. His FCS numbers were better as a passer than Matthew Sluka's. So I would tend to believe he'll be a better passing quarterback than Sluka was. Now,
well, we knew who the best passer is because Jacob DeJesus told us.
Cam Friel. Now, you have 4 days until the game is actually played. How much does that matter? Like, it could have a big impact on this week just because of it's so much turmoil. But in the long run, I would venture to guess that Haj Malik Williams is just fine as a quarterback for UNLV. All right, let's take a break. We've got more UNLV Pac-12.
There's a lawsuit.
This is the first time in the history of anything that UNLV has had not just one, but the two biggest stories in college football. They are at the center of the two biggest stories in college football right now. That's insane. This program has been to one bowl game in a decade, and they're the center of the two biggest stories in college football. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. We'll get more into it next.
To Jacob Wilson. This one's going to get through. Zach Gallup coming home, and the Oakland A's have won the ballgame. And another memory at the Coliseum on a 5-4 walk-off from the young Jacob Wilson.
Live from the Findlay Toyota ESPN Las Vegas studios, this is the Press Box with Graney and Bischoff on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, I'm going to read a couple of texts from our text line about the Matthew Sluka situation, but also, oh wait, I lied. I was going to say Jeff Erickson's coming on. That's tomorrow. Don't listen
Correct.
To me.
Fitz,
I thought it was Thursday. Yeah, Jason Fitz is coming on. Don't send us fantasy questions. That's tomorrow. Now, from the text line today, ignore everything I just said. Scott said, in your words, talking about me, in your words, he isn't a great quarterback. If he asked for $5 million in NIL money, they should give it to him. I know he always contradicts himself, but come on. So here's the key, Scott. I don't think Sluka's a good quarterback. Barry Odom clearly thinks Sluka's a good quarterback because they started him for 3 games. Me and Barry Odom do not have the same opinion on how good of a quarterback as Sluka is. If you are UNLV and your starting quarterback of your best season ever comes to you and says, I want more NIL money, and you say you can't do it or won't do it, then it's because you don't have enough NIL money at the end of the day. I don't think he's that good. I don't think he's worth $5 million NIL money. he didn't ask for $5 million, but I don't think he's worth that. But if UNLV didn't pay him, they basically said, we don't need to pay our starting quarterback in the middle of the best season we're ever having. An interesting question from Colby, who says, what if Odom told Sluka he's only going to be on 50% of the snaps, so Sluka quit? I'm going to reread a part of Sluka's statement. I committed to UNLV based on certain representations that were made to me, which were not upheld after I enrolled. Despite discussions, it became clear that these commitments would not be fulfilled in the future. We have widely assumed this is NIL related. Is it possible that the representations and the commitments that Sluka mentioned are actually about playing time?
I think, as we said to open the show, it could be about anything. Representation, that could fall into the, hey, you're the starter.
Yeah.
Like, that could fall into that.
If it's not NIL related and it's playing time related, then what Sluka said yesterday is basically, I was promised the starting quarterback job and something happened during the bye week to where he's no longer the starter.
Or he's going to split time.
Or yeah, well,
yeah. I mean, he's not gonna be the starter the entire game like he has been. He's not gonna be the number one guy. There was no or on the depth chart.
They did not have an or on the depth chart this week. That would have led our show on Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, if there was an or on the depth chart. So again, we don't know the whole word representation of what was made to him.
Right.
Could be NIL. Could be playing time. Could be you're the starter. There could have been a promise. You're the starter.
Do you think Odom would have promised him the starting job? Because they
had Hajj Malik Williams as another FCS transfer.
Right.
I don't know what guys, I mean, I would hope not. I would hope it's a competition because you want guys to be at their best and come in and compete and, you know, not be handed anything. But
and then Sluka got here and they split reps three ways until the final week, even through the final week, I think.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Odom would have promised Sluka the starting job at some point, and then he's not happy that it's been pulled or taken away from him, so he's quitting. But maybe he did. I do want to make one very important point. Barry Odom deserves a lot of credit for one thing in this entire scenario. Barry Odom lost Jaden Maiava to USC in the offseason. And then this offseason, Barry Odom kept Cam Friel, a quarterback who started 10 games, got Hajj Malik Williams out of the transfer portal, an FCS guy who had 1 year left of eligibility, and got Matthew Sluka out of the transfer portal. Barry Odom gave himself three legitimate options for a starting quarterback. Now, is Cam Friel going to come in and be a great quarterback? Probably not. But Barry Odom did not get one quarterback and quit. Barry Odom got multiple quarterback options. And this season, UNLV gets off to the 3-0 start, and in their fourth game, we're going to have to see the second option for quarterbacks. And I think Barry Odom deserves credit for that, because making sure you have multiple options at the most important position is a big deal. I still think one of Tony Sanchez's biggest problems was that he got Armani Rogers, and then he kind of quit recruiting that position. They did not go after quarterbacks, and Armani Rogers never developed as a passer, and the offense never got any better, and UNLV never went to a bowl game. But Barry Odom this year gave himself three legitimate options at quarterback, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. I don't think this is how anybody envisioned going to the number two quarterback, but they are going to the number two quarterback now, and I don't think anybody's out there thinking, oh, this season is now completely over. I think it's more of a, well,
Hajj Hajj Malik Williams in the spring.
Yeah.
I think you say, okay, there's some ability there, and that's why they had an open competition.
Yeah.
I mean, if he had come in and really struggled during the spring, then, you know, they're waiting on Sluka, and he comes in, and, you know, he's the guy. But that didn't happen. I do believe it was an open competition. Like, I believe that. I don't believe that they went through that whole facade of it's a competition telling Sluka he's the starter all along.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe that.
Right.
I think it was real between him and I don't know where Cam Friel fit in, but
best passer on the team.
But I do believe it was an open competition between Sluka and Hajj Malik Williams, and now we'll see Hajj Malik Williams.
So just going out to the text line real quick. Two people texted in about the same information.
You don't need to read it. I know where that information is from.
Oh, all right.
It's from somebody who's not credible at all.
Okay.
Yeah. So don't worry about it. But yeah, so UNLV doesn't have Matthew Sluka at the moment. Going forward now, UNLV is going to start Haj Malik Williams, most likely. Oh, that was the other point I wanted to make. UNLV has now lost two quarterbacks in 10 months to NIL.
Yeah, because
Jade Maiava went to Georgia, then USC called.
Went to Georgia, the best team, the best program in America for like a second. And then he went to USC.
I still don't get that.
And he's not starting.
Right. So they lost two quarterbacks in the span of 10 months while going, what's their, what are they, 12-5 over those 10 months? Because they were 9-5 last year. Yeah. That's not great.
No. No, it's not.
I think it shines a pretty big light on where UNLV is as a program, that if they have success, it's going to be incredibly hard to sustain that, because you're going to lose the players or the coaches. It's impressive they kept Barry Odom and Brennan Marion
so far
in the offseason. They also kept Ricky White around, but they've now lost two quarterbacks and one in the middle of the season. That's pretty rough, and that's probably what happens to UNLV football when they have success from here on out, is you're going to get these, you're going to get poached.
Well, they're still a group of five.
Presumably not in the in season, but you're going to get poached. I still can't believe he quit three games into the year at 9:30 at night on a tweet.
Thank you.
What's going on?
That was the tweet. Thank you.
He quit.
I did thought it was a little funny that people were tweeting out, per sources, Sluka has left the team.
He tweeted it.
Is he the source? Because he put it on Instagram and Twitter.
His tweet's the source. It's incredible. I genuinely don't believe it.
No, it was amazing. It was when that came out, you had to check to see if it was his official account.
Yeah.
You had to check to see if it was his official account.
Like, who is this? Is this really Matthew Sluka? I guess it is.
Is this Haj Malik?
Haj Malik Williams is tweeting it out. One more from the text line from Reed. Got to be a team in the Mountain West, either Boise State or Ed San Diego State.
Oh, yeah.
Aztecs. Telling us they need a quarterback, Ed. They poached one.
I know.
They poached one right from UNLV.
Reed, it's not happening.
By the way, it'd be terrible for UNLV. Well, the whole thing's bad for UNLV. But absolutely hilarious if another Mountain West school did this just so UNLV might lose a couple more games. If Boise State or Fresno State was like, we might not be able to beat them, they might steal that group of five playoff spot, let's go poach their quarterback. Unbelievably funny. Like, that's the funniest outcome that could happen at the end of the day. So that's kind of what I'm cheering for, is Fresno State was like, let's wait until they play us, and we're going to offer him a whole bunch of money and see if he leaves. And he did. Oh, I hope that's the answer here. Coming up next, Jason Fitch joins the show.
He once flew across the country to attend a parade. He thinks cake is better than pie. Yahoo Sports' Jason Fitch joins the press box to air his grievances about the Raiders.
Good morning, Jason.
Good morning. I'm going to defer to you guys because my phone's been blowing up all stinking morning this morning about what looks to be a dangerous precedent for college football in the future of athlete empowerment. When you got a team that's sitting there on the fringe of the top 25, the quarterback just says, I'm not playing. Like, well, what's going on in Vegas?
I don't want to go out on a limb, but Antonio Pierce said it's a business decision.
I mean, it's a wild, like, all I wanted was a calm weekend of football, and instead my beloved Raiders come out and lay a massive egg, and now UNLV doesn't have a starting quarterback. What is happening in Vegas?
Jason, I just want you to appreciate the fact that right now the two biggest stories in college football is about the Mountain West possibly falling apart and UNLV's quarterback quitting. The two biggest stories, UNLV's at the center of both of them in college football right now.
I mean, who would ever thought? But here's the crazy part about this. And this story is big enough that I actually don't have to yell about Antonio Pierce for a second.
For a second.
The crazy part about this to me is that, look, no matter what we think, and I'm a fan of athlete empowerment, this feels like an athlete coming in and saying, I'm not going to do this. And what gets really scary about that is there is sort of a level of what stops a player you know, for right before a playoff game, being like, you know what? There were promises made about what would happen if we made the playoffs. And I don't feel like there's being lived up to. I'm not going to play in this game. Like, what stops? This is the weirdest part of the NCAA doing nothing a decade ago to try and figure out a way to handle name image like this, because now, without a collective bargaining association, like a deal, without a union, without all these things, like, there's nothing that's going to stop this. And this just feels like wild precedent for kids that, probably don't have a chance to play in the NFL to turn around and say, I'm going to get the most that I can get right now. I don't know any of the details on why he's pulled back, but it at least plants the seed to a lot of players that might turn around and be like, you know what? Season looks lost. I'm not going to play anymore. Like, if you're Florida State, why not take the rest of the year off?
So Adam Rittenberg, a senior college football writer at ESPN, just tweeted out 5 minutes ago, Bob Sluka, father of UNLV quarterback Matthew Sluka, told ESPN that his son's agents agreed to an NIL deal with the school back in February. They never received payments despite requests and never asked for any adjustments to the original deal.
Oh.
Quote, we have no idea what the hell happened.
Pete Thamel just tweeted, get Jason back on the phone, but Pete Thamel tweeted that former UNLV quarterback Matthew Sluka's NIL representation, Marcus Cromartie, told ESPN that Sluka was verbally promised a minimum of $100,000 from a UNLV assistant coach for transferring there, and none of that money was paid per Cromartie. The media press is on.
To go after UNLV?
Well, no, from both sides. So the DJ Reed guy tweet we read this morning said that UNLV paid everything.
Yeah.
And now we've got Sluka's dad and Sluka's agent saying we didn't get paid anything. Hey, welcome back, Jason. You hung up the phone. You were so mad.
Yeah, well, I couldn't hear anything anymore, so I thought maybe you guys lost me.
Oh, no.
I
just, we had you.
All right, so then I'll let you guys tell me what the future looks like, because I'm telling you right now, if I played in Florida State, I'd just be like, I'm taking the year. I'm going to redshirt this year. I'm going to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, listen. I don't know what happens. I find it fascinating that Sluka is done 3 games into the season, no matter what happened, and now we have conflicting reports. We've got one reporter from 24/7 saying that Sluka was paid everything UNLV told him, and now Pete Thamel's out here saying that UNLV did not pay him $100,000 that he was promised. So now the media press of conflicting stories is on. But I think the big thing that we are going to have to learn and understand is that college football players aren't here just to play the game because they want to play the game. They're here to play the game to make money. And Sluka clearly doesn't care about, well, we could go to the playoff this year. He cares about either UNLV didn't pay him or another school is willing to pay him more, something that's more important to a lot of college football players.
Yeah, and look, when I was that age, it probably would have been more important to me, too. Like, you're talking about a lot of these kids that won't have a chance to play in the pros, so this is their chance to stack their bank account. Like, I love what I do for a living. I absolutely love every second of what I do for a living. But I do it for money, right? Like, so like, I love working for Yahoo. They've been absolutely amazing to me. I love working at ESPN. They were absolutely amazing to me. I have a year left on my contract. Where am I going to work in a year? Wherever somebody decides they want to pay me the most, right? Like, just because what we do, like, this is just part of life, right? So I'm not going to fault the college kids for turning around and saying, hey, I can make my money right now. I mean, my God, if any of us, if you go back in time, weren't any of us going to do whatever we could to make an extra $100,000, $200,000? So I'm not faulting the kids for doing it. The hard part is that how do you stop it? Because there's no way to really enforce contracts. There's no way to put rules in place. If you put a rule in place that says you can't do this, well, that'll just get challenged in court and you'll lose. You can't turn around and limit somebody's earning potential just because you don't like it. So, like, this is just part of the landscape of the future of college sports.
All right. I'm not letting Matthew Sluka get you off the hook for this, Jason. The Raiders lost to the Panthers. What the hell?
Look, I think one of the most inexcusable losses I can remember. I'm looking at you, Antonio Pierce, knowing full well that you can kick my butt with your pinky toe. I'm looking at you, Antonio Pierce, and I'm saying, hey, I'll excuse John Gruden having that sort of a game. I'll excuse Josh McDaniel having that sort of game, because those coaches weren't defined by one thing. The sales pitch on Antonio Pierce was, doesn't matter about X's and O's. He's a culture guy, and he's going to create a culture of this. When's the last time a culture guy like, let's say, Mike Tomlin went out and got his ass kicked by the worst team in the NFL and by the backup quarterback? I think if the number is correct that I was told, this is the fourth time that the Raiders have lost to a losing record team that made a quarterback change the week of the game in the last 3 years. That's disgusting. And to lose to this Carolina Panthers team, which, by the way, is trash top to bottom as a roster, to lose to that team and to let Andy Dalton carve you up that way, have that many players, like, I don't know what angles Epps was even trying to take. I don't know. Nate Hobbs just getting beat repeatedly. Like, I am stunned that every receiver for Carolina that caught the ball over the middle looked like Bo Jackson in Tech Bowl. Nobody knew how to tackle anybody. So, like, maybe all this time we thought Antonio Pierce was the energy spark plug for the Raiders, and what we learned is that it's really Max Crosby. And when Max isn't feeling good and can't be that, the whole team takes a step down. And if that's the case, then Antonio Pierce, man, you better look in the mirror. The business decisions being made, you allowed those business decisions to be made by whatever you created all week in practice.
Well, and I was going to ask you about this because I wrote this after the game. He doesn't call offensive plays. He doesn't call defensive plays. There's only one thing, you know, we've known him to try to or try to be is the motivator, is the preparer, to have them prepared, to have them motivated. And how do they come out like that when that's kind of what we perceive to be his only job?
Yeah, and even in the game, within the game, when did we ever see Antonio Pierce on the sideline take control of what was happening on the field and say, hey, not today, not going to happen here? No, like, he seemed mad, he seemed frustrated, makes good memes out of all that, but, like, he never just grabbed somebody by the face mask and got in him, right? Like, he just never felt like he was even trying to engage anybody. And look, this was still a game at the half, weirdly. This was still a game at the half. So even if he had gone in and given the greatest rah-rah speech, shoot their butts out, we could have seen something different in the second half, and we didn't. We saw the same uninspired level of play in the second half that we saw in the first half. If as a Raiders fan, the only sales pitch I have on Antonio Pierce that I believe in is the culture portion of it, the accountability portion of it. And, man, that took a big old hit. Like, that's the equivalent of a quarterback throwing six interceptions in a game. Like, you might have the next week. You got to see something different. And this is where we can all learn from the Lions, because the stat that came out the other day on the Lions, Dan Campbell, 9 straight times, has won after a loss. They have not lost consecutive games the last 9 times. Man, the Raiders better come out with the thunder of the gods on Sunday. Otherwise, I do think it's fair to look around and say, man, Antonio Pierce or snake oil salesman? I don't know right now.
I like the comparison to the quarterback throwing 6 picks, because that basically means that was Antonio Pierce's Nathan Peterman game.
Oh, man. Can somebody please that's out there take their last ever press conference and ask him how he feels about being the Nathan Peterman of coaches? I mean, like, and by the way, I still think, like, I'm not going to lie, I had former players that reached out to me after the Ravens win and said, man, you guys got something special with AP out there. So how in the world, not only did the team have a trap game, how did the coach have a trap game? And that to me is like, that's the one inexcusable out of all, the most inexcusable thing out of that whole thing is that the coach had a trap game.
I wanted to ask you this, too, about the Raiders looking forward. Crosby obviously hurt and don't know when he'll be 100% since that's a high ankle sprain. How confident are you that this is still a good defense after 3 weeks?
I'm a lot less confident after seeing the least. Look, it's not a deep defense, and I do think that it's fair to note here that Max being less than 100% of himself, no Malcolm Kuntz at this point. Tyree Wilson is not he's not doing anything. The injuries have sort of mounted on this. You know, the Epps injury is going to be significant. So I do think that depth is part of the reason that I'm not as high on this defense today as I was 2 weeks ago. I still think this defense has a chance to be very good. I do believe that the pieces are there. But, man, the run issue is real. The angles issue is real. The secondary issues, like Ja'Cory Bennett, it's just not great. And I'm looking at Tom Telesco saying, hey, are we sure there wasn't a better corner to bring in sometime late in August? Like, maybe we needed to address something. And also, I'm looking at everybody saying, like, if we're talking business decisions, a lot of that's on the defensive side of the ball. So somebody tell me what business decisions the team made this week, because I haven't seen them.
All right, Jason, enjoy your day of talking about Las Vegas football.
Well, you know what? I would be more gentle on the Raiders, but since they changed regimes, they haven't sent me any swag. The last regime sent me a helmet. This regime has sent me nothing. Nothing, UNLV. I shall torch you on every national platform because you have not sent me any swag. I can be bought that easily.
Jason Fitz, Yahoo Sports. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Why haven't they sent Jason a helmet?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Bryson Stock got one.
Bryson Stock got one to spray champagne on himself.
Yeah, where's Jason Fitz?
Yeah, he needs one.
It's ridiculous.
He could wear it on his videos and everything, all the TV and everything he's involved with. Can you imagine that, him doing an entire show on TV wearing that helmet?
He should do that.
It'd be hilarious.
Yeah, if they're like in the college football playoff, even if they're just playing, if they're like 11-1,
he should wear a full uniform with shoulder pads.
Oh yeah. Oh god. Yeah.
That'd be hilarious.
If they're like 11-1 playing Boise State in the Mountain West title game, and it's kind of like a winner goes to the playoff game. Yes, he should do an entire, not just one. He does like 100 shows for Yahoo. He should do all of them
wearing their
full
uniform.
UNLV football uniform.
Yes, shoulder pads, eye black, everything.
I agree with this. And then if they lose the game, it'd just be quite funny.
Well, it'd just be fun. It's going to be funny either way. Look back, if they lose the game, then we hit him in a full uniform and have to talk about it.
This idiot dressed up in a full uniform and the team lost. All right, coming up next, I don't know, something else about Matthew Sluka. Who knows?
Gray, long touchdown pass to Plum, the wide receiver. How about that? QB to wide receiver, bucket there. 60-55.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN Las Vegas.
We will get back to some UNLV football, but I do want to get to the Aces. They won a playoff game. They won a playoff series yesterday. They beat the Seattle Storm in game 2, 83-76. So they are moving on to the second round where they will play the New York Liberty after sweeping Seattle. First point, Kelsey Plum, massive turnaround. Game 1, she had 2 points on 1-of-8 shooting. In game 2, she led all scorers with 29 points on 11-of-15 shooting. And I think most impressively, only 2-of-6 from 3.
Yeah.
Plum, 3-point shooter, whatever. But she did not do her work from 3-point range yesterday. She did a really good job attacking the rim. I have a dumb theory. I think sometimes teams forget Kelsey Plum's left-handed.
Oh, okay.
Because there were plenty of times where she... There was a defender that was in decent position, and they like just didn't really contest her left-handed
shot.
Layup. And I think it's because they kind of forgot, oh, she's going to shoot it with her left hand. And Plum, one of the moves she loves is sort of the left-handed scoop shot where the right hand never touches the ball.
Right,
it's
right.
just sort of
she
a
loves coming down the lane and
scooping
it.
Just sort of off the dribble, you just carry the ball straight up and then lay it in. And she did that like 3 times last night, and Seattle acted like they had never seen that move before in their lives. And she does it every
all
game.
The time.
So I kind of feel like Seattle forgot she was left-handed. And I feel like there have been other games where teams are like, ah, crap, she's left-handed. Of course she's going to go that way. So that's my dumb theory on some Kelsey Plum shots last night. Here's my question for you. We saw the absolute floor in game 1 for Kelsey Plum. 2 points, 1-of-8 shooting, just disaster offense. And the ceiling, 11-of-15 shooting, 29 points. What do we see more of the rest of the postseason?
I'm going to say we see more of the good.
You think so?
Yeah, I think we'll see more of the good. They're playing New York. I'll tell you what, they better see more of the good because they're about to play the best team.
Right.
3 out of 5?
Yes, 3 out of 5.
Okay, so they're about to play the best team 3 out of 5. They need her to be good.
Yeah. Listen, I'll be surprised if she has 2 points in a game. I'll be surprised if she has 29 in a game.
Right, she could have 17.
Right. I think that's more or less what you're going to see. I think the real key will be, well, it'll be how New York defends the Aces. If they help off Kelsey Plum at all, she's got to drain threes, right? She's got to hit threes.
Right.
If they decide we're not going to help off Kelsey Plum because she's going to hit a bunch of threes, then she might have quieter games while still impacting
the
offense.
She could go to her left and have the scoop shot.
She could do that. I'm going to guess New York knows she's left-handed, but I don't know.
The best team should.
I love my dumb theory. I love it a lot, so I kind of hope there's a game where it's like, yeah, we forgot she was lefty. we just scouting report. We forgot about that. One other thing I wanted to ask you. Chelsea Gray last night.
Yes.
12 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds. But 5 turnovers. Seattle only had 4 as a team. Gray had more by herself and shot just 4 of 13.
Well,
good game?
Hasn't that been her?
She's been a bad her field goal percentage
shooter,
has been
she
awful.
She came back from the injury, so it's more of what she's been all season.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a good game.
I'd put it this way. I don't think the Aces beat New York with the Chelsea Gray
way.
They got last night.
Right.
Because what they got last night, Chelsea Gray had some incredible highlight passes. The one where she threw ahead in transition, it was like a soccer pass. She bent it around the defender. Terrific pass. She made a handful of highlight passes last night for assist. But her five turnovers, at least three of them, were her trying to make more highlight passes that got broken up. So her good highlight passes were basically canceled out by turnovers trying to make more highlight passes. I don't think the Aces need that from Chelsea Gray. They're good enough offensively that they don't need her to try to thread the needle. Just make the easier pass,
right.
Give the ball to Asia Wilson, and I think they'll be fine offensively. So I think the highlight passes were fun. They were nice, but she tried enough of them where she turned it over as well, where I think it was sort of a net zero in terms of helping the team win. And then it was a 7-point game, so it wasn't exactly close. But we saw this in the regular season when Gray came back a couple of times too. Final 2 minutes, back-to-back possessions, the Aces went Chelsea Gray isolation. And in this last night, she hit a step-back mid-range jumper, her basically signature shot, and then missed a contested layup. I do not understand why the Aces would go to that in late close
games. Close game.
Of all the things you can run offensively, I feel like that's got to be pushed
down
way
road.
down the list. Right, like give Asia Wilson the ball, give Kelsey Plum the ball.
Right.
At least if it's going to be Chelsea Gray involved, make it a ball screen where she can read the defense and make a pass if they, you know, leave a hole open or accidentally send her defender the wrong place. I think the problem for me with like how they're using Chelsea Gray is they are still using her like she is the best point guard in the league when she has not been that this season. She has not been this great offensive player. And I think that's an issue. Like, if they're going to get into late situations and say, all right, Chelsea Gray, win us the game like you did last year and 2 years ago when we won the finals, she hasn't been that good this
right.
year. So that's probably my biggest fear on how they use Chelsea Gray is just treating her like she's still Chelsea Gray and not like she's a worse version of that, which is what she is now.